All right, welcome back to the Jimmy's Army Podcast, a podcast about OKC Energy by Energy fans. Daniel back here with you, as well as Tyler Williams. What's up, Tyler?
Been a long time, but I'm happy to be
We're happy to have you. Just missed the greatest podcast ever, but whatever. And we have Mr. Edward Martz. What's up, Eddie?
What's happening, world?
We're glad to have you guys back week. We got a lot to go over. Said it a couple of podcasts ago, but this team is so hot right now.
So hot.
We got a couple games, 2-0 victories. A couple of them, one against Vancouver, one against Tulsa. We'll go through those games. First off, because I always forget, didn't this time want to thank Matt Crane, our producer. Say what's up this time. So what's up, Matt?
What it do, homies?
There he is.
Voice. That is white.
It's behind all of the podcasts. You can now hear him for, and I don't know if that's a good thing, but thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Matt.
You know, Ryan one time said that he was the brains of the operation, but I'm pretty sure he's wrong.
True. It's true.
What does that have to do with being the voice?
I don't know. Good question. He got you. Maybe you shouldn't talk. He's going to make you look like...
Get off.
But Ryan will be back. Ryan will be back next week. He just got through and didn't get to research a lot of the games, which is cool. So we'll get him back.
Or
next
shower.
Week.
He didn't get to shower either.
Yeah. He smells awful.
He's with us right now and he smells terrible. So, anyways, we got a good podcast for you guys. We'll recap a couple of great games. We'll talk.
One would say this week we're #blessed. I don't know.
#blessed.
Hashtag blessed. So I do got to say to you guys that every week Tyler sends out an outline for the podcast, and they're always goofy. Like, he puts in things that he wants to say that he doesn't forget saying them. And this week I was looking at it, and it was like intro, we won the games, #blessed. Like, he wanted to make sure he said #blessed.
You can't deny it, though. I mean, come on. I'm basic. We're so
blessed right now.
We are. So #blessed, two good wins. We'll recap those. We'll look to the future. We have what some would say is a big game, although maybe FC Dallas isn't treating it as a big game. We have a Open Cup game against them on Tuesday. By the time you hear this, we'll recap that, though. We also have what is a string of 5 away games, including the FC Dallas game. The first one of those in league play is against Sacramento Republic on Saturday, so we'll talk about that. We'll get into some stuff around the league, talk about some standings, see where everybody's at. Sound good, boys?
Sounds good to me.
All right, you know the drill. Ty, what do you got?
I have Anthem's Golden One.
Okay.
They serve it at the games, and it's become a personal one of my favorites now.
Very good. Eddie?
First beer tonight is Coop, their elevator wheat. It's quite refreshing.
Very nice. And I'm actually drinking the Farmhouse Ale by Mustang, which is a Saison. It's very good, and it tastes like it's from a farmhouse. I guess that's why they call it that, right?
Shout out to Mustang.
Shout out.
Yeah. So good beers. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump right into recapping what's been going on for the Energy FC. We did preview the Vancouver game. It was a 2-0 win for the Energy. A good kickoff game to what was a busy week. So, as always, we'll do our good, bad, and ugly. We'll start with Eddie. Eddie, what's your good for the Vancouver game?
I think my good is that if you guys listened last week, I said that I wanted Koenig to get back on the score sheet, and he did just that. He had 2 goals, one from the spot. Looked real good all game. So
very good, very good. What do you got?
Well, aside from Danny's brace that won us the game, I would say probably our pressure. We had offensive pressure 100%. I know that's wrong, but gosh, it just felt like 100% of the game. We're pressuring, we were there, and really didn't even have much of a chance.
Yeah, no, I agree. We really kind of beat them down. My good, besides Koenig, which is one that I had, was Greg's work on the PK. He really put it all on the line. He went up for a header and got absolutely smashed by the goalkeeper. I mean, it wasn't even close. Greg won the header and got destroyed by the goalkeeper on our first goal, which really kind of broke, I guess you could say, because we had been pressing all game and just couldn't seem to find anything until that moment. And, of course, Koenig just blasted the PK in, and that really kind of changed the game there. So,
well, you kind of took my ugly. I know it wasn't a Michael Thomas hit, but it did look like something out of American football a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he hit pretty hard. It looked like him took him out a little bit, knocked the wind out of him maybe.
Yeah, no, he was down for a bit. So
one of my goods whenever I was researching this is the depth of our team. With Michael Thomas and Casey Townsend both sitting out, we were able to, you know, put together a really good game in the back. And Evan Newton had another clean sheet because of our back line. Well, and his saves, but just the depth is really promising.
Well, see, speaking of Michael Thomas, we actually got to have a few words with him about, hey, how's the eye doing? You know, when you're coming back, we got to talk to him after both games. It seems, I guess he likes to talk to us a little bit. Which
MT, he's a fan of the podcast.
Yes, so kudos for us. But here's some words. Here's some words from him. It was a good talk before and after all the recording, but here's a little bit that we had to share with him.
Tell about these last couple games. First off, how's the eye? How's that go? You all right?
Yeah, the eye's fine. You know, I've actually been in no pain at all, which has been fantastic. It's stung a little bit here and there during the day, but you know, I'm just happy that it wasn't anything worse. Could have been a broken nose or a stress fracture or anything. So I'm thankful for that, and yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. Hopefully, I'll be back for Saturday.
We hope that, yeah, because we hate Tulsa. So
of course.
Well, let me ask you. You've been a huge part. This is four clean sheets in a row.
Yep.
You were still a huge part of the last one, mm-hmm. and the ones before that. How are you feeling right now? How's the defense come along? Evan Newton, how's that going?
It's great. You know, we pride ourselves on our defending, and we know that if we don't let in any goals, that we will at least get a point each game. And our goal is obviously to get 3 points. And, you know, we felt very good in the preseason about our defensive shape, defensive mentality, and attitude. And unfortunately, during the first few games, it just wasn't there, and we kept letting in these cheap goals. But it's something that we've been working on the training field, and we've all really come together. And I don't think it's just been the back four and Evan. It's been the guys in front of us just the same. It's a mentality as a team, and we're all coming together. We're all really working for each other and fighting for each other even more.
Sure. So tell me about the two rookies. We got two rookies at center back,
mm-hmm.
Andrews and Van Kamp. How they've been doing? How have you? You know, you are the veteran. You've been here. You're our captain for two seasons.
Yep.
How do you see them kind of coming along?
Yeah, I think Jacob has transitioned very well from the college level into the professional level. He's a very good professional, takes care of his body off the field. And he's a very intelligent player and a hard worker at the same time. He's not afraid to speak his mind in a good way. He's vocal on the pitch, which is great for us. I think I've been very impressed with him. Cody is actually not a rookie, guys know.
Oh, okay, he played tell us where he's at.
This is his third, fourth, maybe fourth or fifth year. He played it's okay. Now you guys know, but he played at Harrisburg last year.
Oh, okay.
I played with him actually in Kansas City when we grew up a little bit. And he has transitioned well to our team, I should say. I think he was a little bit hesitant when he first came here. He's actually one of my good buddies off the field, and we've been able to talk more about, you know, what I think he can get better at, what he think I can get better at, and it's helped our relationship on the field mesh well too, and I think that's been actually a huge part of, you know, getting the shutouts as well.
Very nice. Well, we hope to have you back for Tulsa. You have anything to say about Tulsa or looking forward to Saturday?
I am absolutely ecstatic about Saturday. I we need to get all the fans out here and bring in Tulsa. We're hoping for 3 points. So.
Very nice.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. You just heard from Captain Michael Thomas. He had a lot to say about the game. He's feeling well. Actually, we're fortunate that he didn't have a more serious injury, figuring it was from his head. But he also talked about the defense a bit to say after listening to that.
Well, the team as a whole has been just very consistently working together, and just, you know, mentioned a little bit, the offense is coming back on defense, the defense is pushing forward on offense, everyone is just shifting very well, especially, I mean, our back four are finally starting to click. Those first few games, it was really, they weren't clicking together as well as with the rest of the team, and now it's just these last few games have just been stellar.
Yeah, we keep giving Evan Newton props on his clean sheets, you know, and we haven't really focused a whole lot on the back line, and the way they're moving right now and the way they're defending is just, I mean, there's a reason we're top of the table.
Yeah, absolutely, and Newton mentioned it in the quote that we guys had for you, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, but he basically said that they're starting to gel. They've spent some time together, you know, and you know, and then Michael talked about how the defense starts up top and how it's the strikers working hard. And I think Newton mentioned that too. So you can see that's a philosophy that Nielsen teaches, is it's defense really starts from the top and works its way back. So the forwards are working hard. And you see that from runs the whole game. And then when Greg Dalgard and Townsend are getting back, and I mean everybody in the forwards all the way back to midfield and defense are playing hard.
I mean,
so
I think you can see in numerous occasions where you see Gaz, for example, he will be back with the whole back line. I mean, I know he's a central midfielder and kind of plays a little bit of a defensive role, but sometimes, and he's further back than some of our center defenders.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he covers very well.
Absolutely. So speaking of the defense, Jacob Van Compernel played out of his mind against Vancouver. He had a couple of plays individually, besides just playing well positionally and, you know, doing his job there. He had some ridiculous tackles a couple times in the game to basically stop scoring chances. He was great.
Well, yeah, the few that Vancouver actually had, he was right there. He was spot on, and he was exactly what we needed that game. And, you know, Vancouver didn't have many chances, but that's because our defense and offense didn't really give up much. So
yeah, I know Koenig actually scored two goals, but for me, Van Compernel was the man of the match. I mean, he was outstanding.
Oh, he was fantastic. We actually got to split him a little bit. So it was very refreshing. I mean, he did kind of talk to us like we were a little professional, but, you know, it's fine. He'll loosen up with other interviews, I guess. But
he doesn't know us very well yet.
Yeah, he has no idea. You know, here he is, and we hope you enjoy.
Well, that's four clean sheets in a row. How are you feeling about the defense right now?
You know, I think as a team, defensively, we're playing really well. You can't really single out anybody specifically. I think the back line's coming in. We've got Dukes coming back from injury, stepping in and doing really well. He made a big impact on the game tonight. I think me and Cody have a good combination. We've settled in with each other, and after a lot of flip-flopping around, we've kind of found ourselves and kind of settled in. You know, Harris has stepped in and done really well at right back, I think. But it's not just the back line, you know. Your defense starts with the forwards. Koenig and KG working hard up top, and it just runs through the middle of the field. And I think, I just think as a team, we've been compact, we've been working hard, and working for each other, most importantly.
Absolutely. So you are a rookie, you know, first year in the league. Tell us a little bit about the transition from, you know, college ball, where you played at a high level, to, you know, USL. What was that like, and how did you deal with it?
It was a big change, you know, especially going into the preseason that we had, playing against the likes of Toronto and Columbus and teams like that, and so it was kind of right into it. You had to just kind of getting thrown in the deep water, you know.
And Mark,
I think,
and
that
Josie
was
your first game ever,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
You know, that's big. That's really big. And I think, you know, personally, you know, it's just been about hard work and keeping my head down and trying to fit in, you know. Jimmy's put a lot of faith into me. The whole coaching staff has, and my team has as well. You know, it's when things go wrong, the team's supporting me, and I'm doing, you know, we're all doing the same for each other, and I think that's been huge. I think, you know, I've been working hard, but they've given me the opportunity, and I think that's the most important thing. I think a lot of other places I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity.
Absolutely. So, last question. Tell us a little bit about Tulsa. How you feel about Tulsa? How you feel about the game coming up? Can you give us a little bit about that?
You know, it's a nice rivalry. I mean, just across town, and you know, just going over there, and the fans they have there, just talking smack the whole time. And you know, I hope that when they come here, you know, our fans and the Army will give them the same thing, and I know they will. And I'm excited. I mean, you know, I think I think we're the better team. We're the better team last game, and I think that you know, if we play our game and we keep improving like we have been, we keep working for each other like we have been. You know, I think there's no doubt that we'll come away with the 3 points.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. You just heard there from the rookie center back, Jacob Van Compernol, who's really, really good for us this season as a rookie. I don't think you can ask much more from the guy. I mean, was his first professional game ever was marking Jozy Altidore, and he locked him down, just to be fair.
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad we actually got the opportunity to mention that to him. I don't think he really he really doesn't fuck himself up that much, which is and none of the players really do that. Nobody boasts a lot. Nobody has a big head, but we mentioned it to him, and he felt privileged to do that.
Yeah, he says you can't single anybody out, but he's doing a hell of a job individually.
Well, and I'll say this, you can tell that Jimmy has these boys trained well, because we asked him about Tulsa, and we were, you know, to say, you know, tell us how much he hates Tulsa, just like we do. He's like, oh, well, you know, it's a great rivalry, and it's like, okay, you obviously had a little bit of training on how to talk to the press.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we're press.
Yeah.
We're press. Speaking of, we try
to instill that in them, that we are. Not
I know,
correct.
We just talked to it. Technically, we are, because we put their voices out there, you know. So,
yeah.
Speaking of, because technically we're press, we should press passes for the games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jason, I know you listen to the podcast. Get us some press passes, please.
I disagree with that completely. I want to sit in the fan zone, and I want to get crazy with those guys.
Well, no, we can. I just want the press passes so we can be like in Wayne's World when they're just like holding the pass up to everybody when they walk in. It's like,
yes, yes, please.
I'm still sitting with my boys, but I'm going to wear this plastic.
I just want the fancy lanyard that says VIP on it.
Oh, yeah. I think we should feel like VIP. You know, we're big time now. We had a coach on last week. You know, that's our
Jason.
Show.
Jason, make it happen. Okay. So you heard from Jake. I'm calling him Jake now since we're on a first name basis.
We actually got to share some words with him the last game against Tulsa after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of dressed, you know, in just a polo and some jeans or whatever. And we were like, we looked at Gaz and we were like, hey, Jacob. Why aren't you dressed like that? And here's that kind of money. And you know.
So in case you guys don't know, Gaz, after every game, Gareth Evans, he's always dressed fancy. He's got his tie clip and a tie and a nice shirt. And, you know, you got the rookies in a polo and jeans and Chuck Taylors, which, you know, it's cool because Chucks are awesome. But
he doesn't make that Gaz money.
That's right.
Gaz was looking fresh, and, you know, that's all on him. That's fine.
So, we're just kidding, Jacob, in case you listen, we still love you too. Just get a tie, all right? Get a tie. No big deal.
If you need to borrow a shirt, let me know.
All right. Well, so, let's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Ty.
We had something very important happen after this game, too. We got some words with Jimmy.
Oh, yes. Jimmy.
Great words. And, you know, I've been holding back some of the excitement because I'm kind of waiting. I'm letting it build. But this was kind of – we wanted to save this one for last, because Jimmy really gave us some words about Tulsa, and we loved it. And so
here's the thing. I know a lot of you guys listen to this while you're at work, while you're driving, or basically while you're doing chores or some things. Pay attention. Pay attention to this. Stop working. Over on the side of the road if you're driving. If you're doing chores or whatever you're doing, stop doing them and listen to Jimmy, because you will love it.
Well, here he is, so let's get to it.
How'd you feel about the game, Coach?
No, of course I'm pleased with the result. First half, I think we did a decent job. Worked extremely hard under tough conditions. It was very, very hot for the guys. But I think everything we invested in first half benefited us in second half. And, you know, I couldn't be more pleased with the guys. Tremendous feeling right now. Got a short week here. We've got to prepare ourselves again for Saturday. It's a tight schedule at the moment. But right now we're enjoying it, and the guys we put out there, they leave everything on the field. That's a good feeling for a coach, to see your players leave everything on the field.
How do you feel about Tulsa? Tell us about that game.
No, I'm ready to bend over Tulsa and go after them.
So that was Jimmy, and You can,
Emmy.
Yes, yes. You can tell there was a little bit of a fire in him, and you could tell that he doesn't treat us like we're, I guess, interviewing him. He talks to us like we are the fans, because we truly are.
That's why we named the podcast after. Yeah. Just so everybody knows. Yes.
For moments like that, it was, I thought, a nugget of gold. But anyways,
glorious.
Yes. So, Daniel, can you tell me, where were we at with the good, bad, and ugly?
So, we are now to the bad. Tyler, what's your bad for the Vancouver game?
Well, my bad was that I don't know. I think we should have scored more, to be honest. I mean, that's not that, it's not really much of a bad. I don't know if I can say anything bad. I thought it was almost a perfectly played game. I mean, we really didn't give them any chances. We held possession very well. What do I say bad about a win that was well deserved and dominated pretty much?
Well, you said bad was that we didn't score more goals, and hence made us sound like huge homers. But we are, so no big deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, we completely dominated the game. So,
I agree.
I mean, what else could I ask for besides more goals? I mean, I like to shower myself in beer.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, Eddie, what was yours?
Well, I'm wondering why my bad is Kyle Gregg not scoring a goal in this game. It's an interesting tactic for the team. I mean, it clearly worked out for him. No, my bad is I'm about to bend this bat over like Jimmy wants to bend over Tulsa. My bad, I could not make it to this game. So my bad was the YouTube announcers.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so during the water break in the first half, on this rant about how professional athletes didn't stop a soccer game for water breaks, I'm just going to say, look at every other sport. They stop like every 20 seconds, 30 seconds. You know, in basketball, it might be like every 4 minutes. But to dog on the boys for playing in over 100-degree weather on the pitch. It might not have been 100 degrees outside, but it was 100 on the pitch.
Oh, it felt at least 100. I mean, come on. It was humid. It may not have technically been, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying it was 100 and whatever on the pitch, and, you know, they were basically, even after the water break, they were still talking about how, you know, professional athletes shouldn't take water breaks.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and skip my bad and go right to my ugly, which was the water break, because I completely disagree with you boys, and here's why. I talked to Coach Richie after the game, and that's our advantage, almost. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, and Eddie, you talked about it. We've been a second-half team. That's when we score. That's what we've been doing. Against Vancouver, we absolutely ground it until the second half when we just attacked, basically. So, you know, we spent the first half making them run, and then we just attacked. I talked to Coach Richie just kind of in passing after the game, and he told me how much he hated the water break momentum. And so, you know, from a safety aspect, and I know you guys know this, playing on turf, it just radiates the heat, so it's hotter than the play field than it is, you know, in the air. Our advantage, because this team is in such good shape and has so much depth that they run forever.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out here and make you feel like the jerk you are and say, skip said water break and someone had some sort of heat-related injury. How great would you feel now?
Well, as long as it was...
I hope you feel like a man.
As long as it was a Vancouver player, I don't care.
even if it was a Vancouver player,
no,
I still feel bad.
I'm being serious. I was just joking there, but I'm being serious because I talked to Coach Richie, and he said they didn't feel like it was hot enough for a break. So I know that there are rules and stuff, and I respect those.
I feel like it should be up to the players, in my opinion.
Well, shoot, if it's up to the players, they'd be taking water breaks every 20 minutes. I mean, everybody gets hot and tired.
I don't know that. I don't think that's true.
I don't know.
I think it could be hit or miss.
Agree to disagree.
How can you – you can't make it about the players. It's arbitrary. So what if two players want a water break but the rest don't? Is it still up to the players?
I don't know. We'll talk. is it up to the players? Shut up.
All right. All right, so we talked about that. It was good. We disagreed. My ugly was the water break / officiating, which I thought was terrible. Do either of you guys have an ugly for the game?
Well, I kind of already told you my ugly was the hit on Kyle Gregg.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But, yeah.
The football tackle.
Thankfully, there was, you know, nothing more. I mean, he got hit pretty hard.
Yeah, he did.
It looked like it knocked him back maybe a couple of days, but
my ugly was actually the heat. Also, again, touching on the weather, but from a game perspective, it really slowed everything down. The players looked sluggish. The ball looked like it was going slow. I mean, everything just was like a step slower than it normally is. You know, you can't complain about a 2-0 victory. We played fantastic, so.
Yeah, like I said, I really thought our strategy was to beat them into the ground. You know, they're Vancouver, they're from Cascadia. You know, it doesn't get this hot there, and that was really our advantage.
They don't know what the heat is, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's still snowing in Vancouver, if I'm correct. I mean, I'm not 100% sure.
We just looked at weather.com, and it was.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So you know, I'm an Oklahoma meteorologist, and they apparently know everything about the weather here. So
I looked at the sky, and it was hot.
All right, so let's go ahead and look forward to the Tulsa match, big-time match, big-time banner. About five people from Tulsa showed up, pretending like they were the boss.
Oh, come on. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say there was like 10.
Okay. Well, you're nicer than I. But they did down for the game. It was
10 is still pretty bad, though.
Yeah. No, it's bad. Great win again. I mean, we're just getting used to winning by now. But
oh, my gosh.
They're so hot right now.
Seven in a row, baby.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag beat Tulsa.
Hashtag too blessed to stress.
So, yes, we did beat Tulsa 2-0. We had a goal from Koenig. We had a goal from Gareth Evans, his first of the season.
Yeah. Hosting
him at home for the first time.
Hosting him at home for the first time. We played them twice. Played them twice away, once in the Open Cup. This is the first, or
we
once
won.
In the league play. We did. We did win. We've won
can
both.
I ask, has Tulsa ever beat us?
No. We drew the first one, but...
Oh.
I think they beat us in like 83, if you ask their fans.
Yeah, if you ask their fans, they have a lot of history, but if you look at their Wikipedia site or any other site referencing the 83, it's a completely different team, they need
it's
to get
it's a different
it
league, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a different NASL matter.
Yeah.
It was the first ever NASL, and it's... a different one.
That league went kaput for a reason, but let's go ahead and get into the good, bad, and ugly of the game. I'll go ahead and start here. My good was I had a couple good. I'm pulling Eddie Martz here. I had a couple good, so I hope I don't steal any of your guys's. But first, obviously, we're probably all going to have defense. Mine was the defense / Evan Newton, who had a couple of huge saves in this game again. And you'll hear from Evan later, but he says that he's there to make big saves, and so he did this game. I had the return of...
Actually, why don't we just hear from him now?
Yeah.
We might as well. Evan Newton was fantastic. I will completely agree with you. Actually, what was it? Two of the great saves he had in front of us were right there, right in front of us, in front of the net. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, here he is.
Favorite curse word? No, I'm just kidding. So it's family podcast. Yeah. So serious questions. So that's five clean sheets in a row. Yes. I know you know.
Well, yeah. I think so.
I try.
Yeah. No, don't throw that on him yet.
No, I thought it was five, but I wanted to.
It is.
Okay.
For a fact.
Five clean sheets in a row. Not only how are you feeling about that, but that win against Tulsa. Tell us what's going on in your head right now.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's a team effort, really. I mean, everybody's defending hard, everybody's playing hard, and we're just trying to win. That's all I'm trying to do. That's all everybody's trying to do. And the clean sheet's a cherry on top. But it's always great to beat Tulsa and the in-state rivals. And on top of that, you know, they got a couple fans that like to tweet us and talk some smack. So it's always nice to for you guys to have our back on that, as well as, you know, beat them, you know, when we get the chance. So
very nice. So tell me this. You had, I think, three that I remember. One was down here, the other were on the far side. Gargantuan saves. I mean, we're talking.
It's a great word. Good word.
Huge saves. What's going through your mind when that happens? Because it's been pretty frequent.
I'm just trying to do my job, man. The guys in front of me are doing a great job, and then whenever, you know, they're going to have breakdowns and the other team's going to get chances, and I'm just trying to, you know, come through for the guys in front of me, and, you know, they're doing a great job limiting those chances. So we're just all trying to help each other out, really.
Fair question. So when they give away those chances, what are you saying to them?
You know, I'm not getting mad because they're having a good game. You know, we played well tonight. I'm just trying to, you know, get them motivated. And again, I'm just trying to, you know, do my job. Really, I got to come up with big saves here and there. That's what I get paid to do. So I'm glad I've been able to do that tonight.
So the fun question: you excited about Dallas?
We are. It's going to be a good game. They're a great team. They're one of the best in MLS right now, and it's always fun to play U.S. Open Cup games and get a chance to, you know, play against good teams. So it's going to be a good time.
All right, very good.
And that was Evan Newton there telling you a little bit about the game. He talked about the defense again and how they've been playing together and how he doesn't want to take credit and, you know, all the good things you expect your goalkeeper to say.
Yeah, you know, he said he's there to make big saves. And one of the notes that I took was it was like the somewhere between 50 and 60 minutes, like in that 10 minutes, he made some crazy save from a set piece where it was going right into the top corner.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was second half, and he just went straight up. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that was a world-class save. Like, yep. There's a lot of keepers in our league and even in MLS that would have been a goal easily.
I agree.
One of the great things I really liked is it truly made me believe that he was a real deal when he said, you know, I'm not going to get mad at him. I get paid to make saves. He doesn't get paid to stand around there and just, you know, yell at his teammates when they make a mistake because he doesn't think they're perfect. And,
right.
And I think that's just kind of a great quote from him a little bit if you're kind of listening to it and decipher that out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, there are different styles of leadership and goalkeeper. You know, if you look at, you know, you mentioned this, Tyler, just while we were talking earlier, but Timmy Howard, he's your very vocal goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah. He's been known to yell at people. I mean, it works. And that's fine. Whatever works for him. But there are those vocal goalkeepers out there, and he does it. I've seen it for Everton as an Everton fan. I've seen it for the U.S. national team as a fan of that as well. He's very vocal, and he's even said it in interviews where he's, you know, I'm not afraid to yell at somebody.
Right.
I'll yell at him. And, you know, Evan, for an approach to that, and I do respect and appreciate it.
Yeah, he kind of brings the other side of the spectrum as far as that goes. He'll talk and he will communicate with his back line, but he doesn't get onto players after, you know, maybe there's a breakdown in the defense, or he doesn't really yell at players and all that. And it's just a different style, and it works. I mean, obviously this team is gelling, the defense especially is gelling, and Newton is making some absolutely beautiful saves. So, Eddie, what was yours?
Well, I'm gonna pull a Eddie Martz also, and I've got a couple. My first good was gas that Tulsa fans wasted to come watch their team lose in Oklahoma City. It doesn't get much better than that. I think my good for this game was Gaz's header.
Oh, yeah.
It's his first goal since 2012. I mean, it's been a few years since he scored. You could tell that he was excited by the about 9-inch vertical that he had celebrating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He didn't get very high off the ground, but he was about it. He just ran to Jimmy, and I mean, his celebration was awesome.
Absolutely. And speaking of Gaz, we did actually get to speak to him after the game. So here's what he had to say.
First goal of the season against Tulsa. Tell us how that felt, and also how you felt the game went.
Obviously, the game went well. You know, we got another win, clean sheet. So we're excited about that. And obviously, by my terrible celebration, I was clearly excited to score the goal. So overall, it was a good game.
Very nice. So, how does it feel to, well, it's 7 in a row.
seven in a row, not only in the league, that's what, two in a row against Tulsa. Tell us how you feel about the team.
Well, the last seven games have been awesome. You know, we kept a lot of clean sheets, yeah, a lot of wins. But now I've got a tough stretch of games coming up on the road, so now it's going to be a true test of how good we are. And I think over the next four or five games, we'll definitely be able to see if we can stay at the top of the league, you know?
Absolutely. Thanks.
My pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And that was Gaz, this goal scorer. He was only a little bit happy, as he said, because he just ran all the way across the field to get to some of the players on the bench. But
well, we did get to talk to Gaz. Well, Eddie spoke with Gaz a little bit regarding his remarks about the game coming up against Dallas. So
yeah, he basically said with regards to that game, they're all very excited. He says they're on a good run of form. We go into the game with confidence, but obviously very respectful. They're coming up against a top team. I mean, he admits it. It's going to be a tough game. They're going to have to hustle. They're excited about the game.
Well, speaking of respect, that's something I kind of want to remind us to touch on a little bit when it comes to when we talk about your game. But it's fantastic to see him score a goal for us finally. And it's really something that I've been waiting for. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that, hey, I can't wait for Gaz to score.
Right.
It might not have been on the pod, but it was when we were sitting here talking.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. On a different note, I'm kind of surprised Nobody's Good was Koenig's third goal in two games.
Player of the week right there.
Yeah. You can't really pick apart.
Maybe.
Can't pick apart his goal too much. He probably should have had it on the first touch and it nicely.
Well, you know, there was actually great build-up play to that. You know, Greg, actually, it started with Cody Andrews. He played a ridiculous ball with his left to Greg's feet, and Greg made a good play on it, tried to cross it. It was deflected off the defender, but he stayed with it. He kind of dummied it, and then Duke made it to the end line and crossed it, and Greg was there again, you know.
The leave that Cody played to not really, like, after his first touch, he just kind of left it for KG to run through and pass it back across the middle. I mean, it was,
yeah,
you know that faked out the defense as much as him.
Right, you mean
touching it.
You mean Duke, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
for Duke. Yeah. We know what you're talking about, but yeah. Yeah, no, it was great. He kind of looked like he was going to touch, and then he gets out of the way, and Duke made a great touch to the end line and a great cross. And we're actually talking about Koenig being in the right place at the right time, like we've been saying for Greg, and it was off of Greg's shot, kind of deflected to him, and he was just poacher's goal right there, boom. First goal. He didn't seem to care that it was ugly, so neither did we.
Clearly, he listens to this podcast because, you know, we told him to get back on the score sheet, and now he's on fire again.
Yep.
Well, since we're kind of trying to escape the subject, I do actually have a good for this.
Yes, what is it?
My good would have to be Michael Thomas, first game back.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I just mentioned return of Michael Thomas, so you're technically stealing it from me, but that's okay.
Well, you stole it from me first.
Guys, I've got a good for this game, and it was Michael Thomas's return.
No, I was going to touch on it a little bit more in the fact that we had a bit of an interview. It was I was a little bit inebriated.
It's a family podcast.
I was intoxicated.
That's better.
Thank you for clarifying.
I was drunk. And but you know, we did get some good words from him.
He
understood what I was saying, at least. Well, you know, there at least somebody did. Obviously you might not, but he'll elaborate a little bit more. But so here we go. We got our captain. Oh, captain, my captain, Michael Thomas.
So I saw you wearing that headband today. What is up with that?
I wanted to look like you.
Yes. Yes. How's the eye feeling? You're all right?
Yeah, it's good.
You played, obviously, so.
Yeah, no, I felt good.
Obviously. I saw you use your head, too, and that's a plus, right?
Yeah, I was a little curious about how I was going to feel because yesterday in practice I was still a little bit iffy about it, and then my first touch tonight in the game was actually a header. And that, to be honest, gave me a lot of confidence going forward, and from then on I felt good about it. So it really didn't really affect me too much, my eyesight or anything like that. And the helmet gave me a lot more confidence too to play. So
very good. So we beat Tulsa again, 2-0. Mm-hmm. Could have been worse. So that's not only another win against Tulsa, but seven in a row. How are you feeling? Like, give us something.
We're feeling good. We're good. But we're a humble team. We know that we're on the right track, and we know that there's still a lot of the season left. You know, we had 5 home games in a row. We want to make Taft a fortress, and we feel like we're doing that. But the real test actually starts now, you know, with Dallas in the Open Cup and then 4 big away games. And so I think we're going to find out even more about ourselves in the next few weeks. But, you know, we're definitely confident, and we're ready to go.
So are you excited about Dallas?
Absolutely. Can't wait. You know, I think it's great for us to come out and play the way that we've been playing and go down there with the confidence that we have. We know that they're going to be a good team. It's obvious, but we're ready. We're excited.
Very good.
So, Ty, are you excited about using your head when discussing this soccer game podcast? He can't say anything. Go ahead, Daniel.
Listen, I think that Tyler's questions were world class. I don't know if any journalist in the world could ask the questions like he does. He asked the hard questions.
Like I said, he knew what I was talking about, though.
You could tell. How does it feel to use your head when the soccer ball flies at you?
Listen, he had an eye injury. He understood me. He was like, no, I get what you're saying here. You're saying...
He never said that.
Okay. You also have to understand, most players, when they have a head injury like that, they're going to, I guess, maybe go on a little soft when it comes to using it.
Be a little tentative.
Yes, a tentative. And he wasn't. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at. Obviously, my sobriety level wasn't helping me ask that proper question.
On a different note, Tyler, are you excited to finish this cast?
I want this podcast to go on forever.
All right.
Very good. So lots of good in that game. Obviously, a little bit harder to find a bad and an ugly, but I had a couple of bad. And I was trying really hard to find a bad because we played so well. But then I got to minute 7 and 30 seconds. Everybody go back and watch. Luis Sanchez, I love you. I know you listen to the podcast. But Chewy goes to have a touch, and he steps on the ball and falls right down in front of everybody. Tim. So he just got back up and dribbled the ball. But it's just funny. It's really more funny because he's a professional soccer player and he's good. You know, if I fell down on the ball in our Sunday game yesterday.
You did.
I did.
But and you're a professional indoor men's league division 37 soccer player.
Right. So basically what you're saying is it's not as funny when I fall down the ball because I'm terrible. But it's funny.
It's still funny.
When a player like Chewy, who is very good on the ball, falls down. So that was my bad. Then I had one more.
You see, Daniel, that's why I disagree, though. And Eddie will agree with me. It is funny. It is very funny when you slip on the ball.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you every time you do that, I laugh. Because
and
it's funny.
He doesn't laugh to himself. He laughs out loud.
Right. I feel like I'm laughing with you, but it's probably mostly at you.
Well, then we agree on my first. So now I got my second one. Minute 17, 30 seconds. We're on the sideline, and I think it was Koenig who had won the ball, maybe a Dalgard, and he plays it right back to Lopez to kind of clear the ball because we're in our defensive third. Not Lopez. It was Christian Duke. And Christian Duke just rifles it off of his shoulder, our own player's shoulder. But he just looks back at Duke and just gives him a look of what the heck was that. So that was another bad. Both of them funny. Both of them meant nothing in the game. But honestly, I'm just saying both of those things so you know I really don't have a bad for the game. So.
Well, I actually do have like maybe 2. One.
Harsh.
Roustabouts.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
No. Like, in general, obviously, but that's not my main point. The Han Solo doll?
Oh, gosh.
What did you shoot first? Did you, hold on, did they go forward in time to find a blaster where they could shoot it first at us?
Nerd alert.
Figured it out, yeah. Nerd. I know.
Hey. Your second bad better be the KD to DC sign. Is that it?
Well, no. That was really awful.
Can we talk about that for a second?
No, yeah, we can.
Well, just for a second.
Let's hear your second bad first.
Okay, my second bad was the announcer saying that they were louder than us.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about either.
Even Evan
Newton. Idiot.
Evan Newton was like, no, honestly, you guys were the best tonight that you could be. It was fantastic. You were the best tonight you've been all season. He gave us so much props when we were talking to him outside of the interview. Well, I guess you can call it. It's not an interview, but outside of the quotes we got.
That's too official.
Conversation.
Yeah. Outside of the conversation, he gave us so many props. And we were just like, wow, this is awesome. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
No, yeah.
I mean, he just kept
There's no way that 10 fans from Tulsa that can't afford to drink a beer are louder
not
than
a chance.
Just because you know, heard them first, because they were there before we were, doesn't mean they're louder than I mean.
They didn't cheer first either.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't cheer first, they didn't shoot first, nothing.
Also, they made a stupid sign that said KD to DC. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Where is your professional basketball team?
It has nothing to do with soccer.
KD can't play for the WNBA, so they just want to like take something away from us.
Ha! You have the Tulsa Shock.
We still have Westbrook that could buy a Shock by himself.
Hey.
So, yeah, if KD were to leave, we still have Westbrook that can be your team.
That's
Thank
not
you.
True, Shock. We have members of the Shock that listen to this podcast, I'm positive
sorry,
about.
I'm so sorry.
So they're awesome.
Anyways, that was dumb. So,
sorry, I had to laugh at that.
No, that's okay. It was great. Well, Matt, why don't you say about Tulsa? Why don't you give us a little something while we're talking about it?
Well, I was just going to talk about like the bad and uglies and stuff like what's his name? Ochoa, when he body like butch just checked.
So fat right now.
So fat right now.
Gosh, that guy's like a bus out there.
Yeah.
When you look like me and Daniel and Eddie's in more shape than us with your shirt off. How are you playing professional?
I don't know, but he is. Was gassed by like the 10th minute, so you know.
Yeah, and it was right after we scored that goal, and he I guess maybe was getting frustrated and just kind of like. I'm surprised it wasn't a red card, honestly.
I know. You could tell he was just extremely frustrated because he had to run around so much, and he's not used to that. So
yeah, and I thought that was very ugly. They're really ugly, too. But
okay. Yeah, no, definitely. So, Eddie, what was your bad of the game?
Well, my first bad is City of Tulsa, just in general.
Gosh.
My second bad. That is the Tulsa fans. And, guys, I really feel like my hatred towards might be a little unhealthy. So we can just skip on to the next
Okay,
segment.
Fair enough.
You can see somebody about that, I'm sure.
It grows on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Matt. Yeah.
The hatred grows.
It does grow.
My wife tried to talk to me about it. Nothing she could say. It's just there. I mean, very nice, Ty.
It is. So, okay, let's move on to my ugly, or our uglies. Mine was, we've already talked about. But also, I had another ugly, and this is probably a bit harsh, but my ugly for the game was Casey Townsend's long sleeves. It was like 100 degrees outside, muggy, and he's wearing long sleeves. I don't know how he does it.
I thought it was beautiful that he was back.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
that's
I'm great.
I'm glad he was back.
I don't know, yeah.
He can wear whatever he wants. He's back.
At least we can find a positive within the negative, right?
Right. I mean, he's back, but the long sleeves, I just don't even know, like, how he did it. I was in, like, a T-shirt and my underwear out there, and I was hot.
I was in slacks and a button-up shirt and a tie during this game. I mean, I wasn't outside.
No, you weren't at the game.
I was sitting inside. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Eddie can't have an ugly because he wasn't there. Tyler, what's yours?
Oh, I do have an
ugly. No, go ahead, Eddie.
Okay, ugly was how the Tulsa fans left our stadium. It was so clean. We hired people from Tulsa just to clean up after us. I thought it was a little weird that the janitorial service that we chose was the Roustabouts, but, I mean...
Well, I mean, that's what a roustabout is.
A janitor?
They pretty much just clean after out on the
Pretty much.
Is that are the pickup after everybody else? Yeah.
You are correct historically. I mean,
well, they're just living up to their name then,
right? Yeah.
And here we all thought there were glory hogs posting that shit and boasting about it on social network.
You're gonna have to edit that out, Matt.
No, it's okay. A cuss word here, there is not too bad.
Look, Google right here: roustabout, an unskilled or casual laborer.
Right. I thought it was very fitting that we put them. Somebody on Facebook said it's funny that they're in Section 8.
That was me.
Yeah. Shout out to Daniel on Facebook. Daniel Hernandez.
Can I just say that unskilled is definitely a good definition of them?
Yeah, that's a great definition.
It's a great definition. So, I know we have a couple more things to add about the Tulsa game. I think we really had control. They actually came out and played pretty well to start the game. I mean, the first 10 minutes, a little bit differently than they did when we played in Tulsa. They really kind of pushed the ball a bit more, and they played up a little bit higher. And then once we adjusted in about the 10th, 11th minute, I mean, from then on, I really thought we had control of this game. And
Oh, definitely. It was really just kind of a when are we going to score, not how or where. It was bound to happen. Yeah. We had that game in the bag.
I was really excited that we finally got a goal. We got a goal in Sacramento in the first half too. But I mean, we're scoring early now and not just always waiting until the second half, and then even late in the second half. I mean, a lot of our goals have come way into second half. So it's nice that Coach Richie was here and saying that he teaches the guys patience, and just because you don't score right away doesn't mean that you're not going to, but it's really good that they're coming out and they're hard for that early goal.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't think that I'm being too much of a homer by saying it could have been at least 3-0 or 4-0. I mean, I've watched that breakaway goal that should have been 3-0 where Lubin just totally messed up his skin, kicked it right to Greg, and he beats the keeper with a pass. I really think the ref thought he took a touch, but he didn't take a touch this time beating the keeper. Koenig was right there. He wasn't offside, so I don't know what the linesman saw, but it should have been 3-0. And you guys know this. The psychology between a 2-0 game and a 3-0 game is astronomically different.
Oh, yeah.
It's different.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're always worried about a comeback when it's 2-0. Absolutely. I mean, I know it's – and how have we not talked about Lubin? I mean
– he's too easy. But, Daniel, you really kind of mentioned the ugly that I was going to have that I never really mentioned earlier. How did he call that offsides?
I have no idea. I watched it like 10 times.
Talked to Coach Richie after the game, and he said that the ref came up to him and Jimmy afterwards and said, "All right, I looked at that on the screen, and that was not offside. That's my bad. It should be 3. It should have been 3-0." And he said, "Well, I don't have any arguments with you now, but if they would have came back from a 2-0 score,
yeah."
I heard that he was from Tulsa, and he doesn't understand the rules of the game.
Sounds about right. Just like they don't understand what a loss is, according to social network.
Jimmy had to explain to him after the game, like, what offsides was. So it was interesting.
Yeah, that was awful. I'm sorry. This isn't Sunday Adult League soccer, okay? You have one job as a linesman, to be a linesman.
That's the ugly at its best.
He failed. I mean, he completely failed. It wasn't even close in offside.
Miles.
And not only that, but he took a goal away that we could have celebrated, which also makes me mad.
We did actually celebrate it. That's a funny. We celebrated it, and it should have been a goal. The referee told our coaches after the game it should have been a goal. We're sorry, which it doesn't matter at this point. But then the roustabouts or somebody showing or making fun of us, mocking us for prematurely throwing a smoke bomb.
by throwing a smoke bomb when they were losing 2-0. A
smoke bomb when they were losing.
Scoreboard.
Yeah, a scoreboard on not only the game, league, standings, everything. Scoreboard.
I was not able to attend, like Tyler pointed out earlier, but I was at a graduation, and I was streaming this on my phone, this graduation, and there were not,
dedicated.
There were not a lot of people at this graduation.
I'm going to give you props.
And, well, my wife doesn't know I was streaming it at this graduation.
That's cool. She doesn't listen. She doesn't listen.
Yeah, she doesn't listen. I'm going to tell her, but she doesn't listen.
That's fine. But on that offsides, I may have, like, yelled out loud just a little bit, and everybody kind of looked at me. but I played it off, but so it was good. But that was...
Sorry, just stubbed my toe.
I bumped my ankle against the leg of the table.
All you have to do is point to your cast, and everybody's just like, oh, he's just hurt. He's hurt.
Well, Eddie, I'm actually really proud that you did that. You pulled that maneuver off.
And- yeah.
And you still didn't get caught, so good for you.
Yeah. Very good.
But
very good. Okay, so
can I just say we beat Tulsa?
We beat Tulsa. Tulsa died by the sword.
Died by the sword.
can I
also just say, is it not just you guys complacent with the fact that we're winning so easily and so well that beating Tulsa really doesn't give me the high that
easy 3 points.
Yeah, easy. That's it's exactly become too what easy. It felt like. It doesn't need to be this easy, guys.
I mentioned it last week. I'm getting really bored with all these clean sheets. Like, I need some drama in my life.
Evan, if you let a ball loose, I'm not going to blame you.
I will. Don't listen to us, Evan. Listen to us. You're a professional. Also,
you're there to make big saves.
Also,
and you did.
And I quote,
Evan Lee, we like his thin Newton. Well, let me tell you something, Evan. We like your thing right now. You keep it up, okay? And Tulsa, anytime you want to try and play us in this footy game, you just let us know because I ain't near right now. So that
I can play you on crutches.
Yeah, we could play the roustabouts.
It would be fair. Yeah, they're all fat and out of shape.
Well, they're all looking like Ochoa, so... And, well, most of us are kind of out of shape. I wouldn't consider us fat, though.
I feel like the roustabouts should bring Ochoa to the game to make it a little bit more fair. I mean, he's he's fat, but they're just fat and out of shape.
They are. So, Matt, you have anything to add about the Tulsa game?
No. Tulsa can suck it.
I want to bend Tulsa over like Jimmy does.
And he did. He bent it over and took it to him.
He promised us. You heard it on this podcast, so.
You heard it here first.
All right, well, just like Michael Thomas said, and a couple of other guys did, we really have the test of the season coming up. We have 5 straight away games total. 1 U.S. Open Cup game against FC Dallas here on Tuesday. By the time you hear this podcast, that game will have happened, and hopefully we'll be celebrating a win, so we'll talk about that real quick. Our first away game in the league play is Saturday the 20th, and that is against Sacramento, which is a good team. And then look at these games. We have, Sacramento. Who's after Sacramento? I know there's somebody there, and then Orange County, and then L.A. I mean, teams that are really, really good.
I'm gonna touch on Orange County for a second.
Okay.
They've only played 10 games so far,
right.
So they've got 2 games in hand on us, which means on some teams they have 4 games in hand. You know they're sitting in 7th, or tied for 7th, I should say. And they've got a lot of soccer coming up. So.
Right.
They play 6 games in July, another 5 games in August. I'm not saying they're going to be a threat, but they have a lot of room that they can make up points from 7th place.
Yeah, they're a solid team, and like you said, they still have some games to catch up. They do play us not only once in this 5-game road streak, but then our very first home game back is against them. So we're going to be very familiar with them. The team that I missed in that road streak, Evil FC, So we play them. We have Sacramento on Saturday. Then we have Louisville and Orange County in L.A.
Louisville's actually a very good home team.
They are. Yeah. They are.
It's going to be tough to play Sacramento, who's in third. I mean, you know, they're in third place. We're above them. We have two games in hand against them. But, you know, to play anybody on the road who's in the top four,
it's tough.
It's going to be a tough game.
So, well, let's first just look really, really quickly at FC Dallas. They are hurting right now due to international call-ups. So it's going to be very interesting to see who they play. If they're going to go all young players, if they're actually going to go for the win. But I'll say this. FC Dallas is completely league in this game. They have moved it to a different place because they're resodding their field, which is fine. But they're not even streaming the game for people to watch. Not only just OKC fans who can't make it, but their own fans who can't make it. And that's really more embarrassing because this is the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which I know a lot of you guys don't know, but Lamar Hunt is one of the founders of FC Dallas. His sons own the team now. And so for them to just – it's really just disrespectful. I mean, no jokes right here. It's really disrespectful for the name, their own namesake on that trophy and that cup itself to not even stream the game. You can't take cameras 20 minutes away to Fort Worth and stream the game. I don't understand
This is a tournament that's played since 1914.
Yeah.
And for them not to stream a game that's this old and involves every professional team in the United States, like – it's crazy.
I mean, I know we're not, you know, MLS status. I know we're just considered by Gulati standards third division, although we beat all the second division teams, whatever. The fact about it is, even their own fans are upset about this. I mean, I've heard complaints from multiple of our friends.
Okay, I just want to say something. We're going into this on a 7-game win streak. Our momentum is extremely strong right now. And all the FC Dallas fans are hashtagging sad FCD fan. Like, their whole mentality is negative. Yeah. And ours is strong. Like, we're going into it expecting 3 points.
Well, some of us are going into it, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I'll say this because I am an FC Dallas fan. Boom. My wife and I go down to mini games. Love all the guys in FC Dallas. And, you know, It's tough to, as an FC Dallas fan, of course I love my energy, but I can still love FC Dallas because we're not in MLS, and it's really hard to watch and see what's going on with this team right now from the ownership. Just a point of it. You mean, this is your dad's cup. It's your dad's name is on it, and you're not even going to stream the game. It's almost like I wish we would have invited Kieran on for this one just to see, like, hey, how'd you feel if they didn't stream a fifth-round FA Cup game? You know, he'd probably flip his lid. Like, they don't they stream every game in the FA Cup, and this cup has been around, like you said, forever.
He would understand if it was Norwich, though, because they're terrible.
No,
he would be pissed. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just one of those things.
I love you, Kieran.
Country's cup. This is not just the MLS's cup. This is the entire country has a stake on it.
I tried to reach out today. I texted and called a few FC Dallas guys that are big in DBG and to try to get their feeling on this game. And nobody would answer, like even text messages. Like, they're not taking it seriously at all. And our guys are going down there with the mindset of moving on to the next round, and we're going to try to destroy them. And these guys are just taking it like, oh, well, you know, this third division mm-hmm. team is coming into but our city, and to play this game.
Well, here's the deal. If they don't take it seriously, then they're going to be for a bit of a shock, to be honest, because this team is strong. I mean, it's top of the West right now.
And we wouldn't be the first team to do it either.
No,
it's happened multiple times.
Absolutely.
In the series.
I was looking at, like, post-game interviews and stuff like that today. I think it was Michael Thomas that said, you know, these guys are not, like, way better. I mean, it might be a step better, but it's a lot closer than everybody thinks it's going
right.
to be. I mean, everybody – the news tonight was comparing it to Oklahoma City Dodgers baseball team went and played the Cardinals. Like, it's not that
different. It's not.
It's It's one touch, maybe. It's one step, maybe. I mean, our guys are good enough to our back line is good enough to stop their strikers. Our strikers are good enough to penetrate their
back line. And
first
off, there are a couple things to tag onto that, but that's if they play their best players, which they won't, be able to because they're missing a lot. But also, in case people don't remember, the first 55 minutes in the Toronto game, they were locked down. Josie, Giovinco. And say what you wanted about it being a preseason game, but it was a preseason game for us too. And we had a rookie on the back line who locked down Josie. So being a preseason game, but it was for us too. And that was his first game. First game for Evan Newton, first game for all of them.
Did Josie score in that game?
No.
No, he didn't. I mean, we had a rookie locking him down, and a world-class player could not score a goal.
So, I mean, to pretend that the gap big is silly. And I really think we're going to show that. I really think USL is going to show that too. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think there are going to be some upsets out there. I think we are going to be one of those upsets. I really feel strong
3-2
about
3-2
energy.
3-2.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Very good.
I like that. Should we?
I like 2-1.
I'll say.
Say like.
I'll say 2-0.
No, you should say like 6-4.
I'm going to say 3-4. Energy.
Okay.
Right. So 4-3. Say your team first.
No, yeah. I was saying the away team second.
No, he said we were going to lose 4-3.
No. Away team is second. But anyways, also on the other side of it, we're not the only ones getting this sort of treatment for the MLS teams. Charlotte, they're having to switch venues as well. I spoke to a pal of ours. Yeah, he's from St. Louis, and he's part of the St. Luligans.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? St. Luligans. Yeah, no, well,
they're good guys.
They're great guys.
Dumb name.
Regardless, they're getting great treatment from Sporting KC, and I was like, well, I'm glad you're getting good treatment because we aren't. And he goes, you're not the only one.
I bet they're streaming the game at least.
They're streaming the game and playing Espen Park.
I can't get over this, okay? I understand resodding your field, but it's not like you didn't know you were going to be in the fourth round because that's where the MLS automatic entry is. And so they knew they were going to be playing at these dates.
It's a cop out.
It's definitely a cop out.
It's a slap in the face to the USL.
They could have done this a long time ago.
Yeah, so anyways, looking at FC Dallas game, we're pretty fired up about that, and for a lot of different reasons.
They could have done this before the last FC Dallas game because of the streak that they're on right now.
No, they're struggling, and so to pretend that they're just going to go ahead and run over us is silly. So
just to wrap that up, I told Gaz that he could come on the pod next week if after his goal against FC Dallas.
No pressure, Gaz.
No pressure. I hope he does score, though. I mean, it would be great to get him two games in a row would be fantastic for the guy. He deserves it.
Oh, yeah, I agree. So let's go ahead and look ahead to our next league game, which is Saturday. That will be streamed. All you Skinny Slims fans, go to Skinny's. That's where they'll have the game. We're not a Bush League.
Like Dallas.
I didn't set myself up for that one well, but because,
too many leagues.
Because we're not Bush League, we will be streaming the game. So Saturday the 20th. Anybody got the start time on that? It's in Sacramento, so I'm guessing it's going to be a bit
later. It was saying something like 30 Eastern time or something like that. Or maybe 10 o'clock Eastern time. I think it was saying.
I think they were saying. It's 10.
I think it's at 10. Thanks, Matt. It's actually at 10 p.m., which is because it's a West Coast team, so it's actually 8 for
them.
We
won the last game we played against them, but Sacramento is the last team that scored against us.
So long ago.
At least 5 games ago.
Yeah. So, anyways, we do play Sacramento on the 20th p.m. Get to Skinny Slums. We'll be streaming it. They are a good team. Top half of the Western standings with us. So they're going to give us a challenge. They're in third place, technically a point behind Seattle, which is in second.
Well, if you look at their last five games, they've only got two wins, two losses, and a draw, so they're not doing that well in the last five games.
Yeah, they're in third place, but we got two games in hand on them, so, I mean, it's probably going to be a pretty good game, but, I mean,
yeah, no. It's a home game, yeah. So, you know. So, yeah, so, get out.
Burst my bubble. Whatever.
Are you just admitting that you're wrong right now?
Yes.
No, I'm not admitting I'm wrong. I'm looking at the last five games right now, and they have two losses and a draw.
Yeah, so, you know, but they are still third. So it just goes to show that, I'm just saying, just goes to show that their start
that's
was
gonna
good.
Say
they're still good.
It's going to say two wins, three losses, and a
that's
draw.
Right.
That in the last six after the
right.
Six one, yeah,
right.
I feel you. I'm picking it up.
That's right. Also, Preki is a jerk, and the nicest thing that I or the meanest nice thing that I can say because this is a family podcast. He's a jerk.
He played for
and
the US
I wish
though.
I could say worse. And then he turned into a huge jerk.
Did.
And I respect him for his time with the U.S. national team. He's a jerk. So, anyway, we want to beat them.
That man is just not nice.
This isn't an R-rated podcast, so I have to say
okay.
Jerk.
Are you excited about playing Sacramento?
Just hope for another row red card in the 15th.
He's
going to
row his boat off the field again.
My first shout-out. Shout-out to Cam.
Cam.
Okay, so we do have FC Dallas on Tuesday. By the time you hear this podcast, that game will
hold
happen.
On. You said your first shout out like three times.
I haven't shout out anybody. That was Eddie.
He digresses.
You've said it multiple times. I digress.
Who have I shouted out to?
Mustang at the beginning.
I
did say it first, but you shouted out.
Dang it. All right, well. I try to keep my shout outs to a minimum. Love you, Ian. no, Ian made fun of me for doing shout out too much, so
I did too.
And Eddie did, but Eddie did afterwards because Eddie likes to be mean. So we do have two very important games coming up that you guys will have listened to this one. FC Dallas on Tuesday, Sacramento on Saturday. Again, that Tuesday game isn't being streamed. I'm hoping that Energy FC game day on Twitter is going to be up. I have my friends down in the stadium who will update me.
If you go to the game, you don't need it to be streamed. I think there's probably like 50 or so of us that are going. Tyler, are you going?
Yeah.
Okay. Daniel, are you going to the game on Tuesday in Dallas? You know, you're an FC Dallas fan. Are you?
Yeah, aren't you an Energy and FC Dallas fan?
You're going to the game, right?
You like both of those teams, right?
Daniel's not going to the game.
So we have a couple important games coming up. And
supposed to suck.
I'll drive you down, and I've got a ticket for you.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. So
I'll drive you down, and I got a ticket for you.
So, again, quit interrupting me.
Daniel digresses.
Two important games. Hope that you guys come out Saturday the 20th. Or they're slapping hands right now. I hate you guys. We hope you come out Saturday the 20th, 10 p.m. Come to Skinny's. Come to Skinny's at 9:30. And hang out with us. Let's watch the game. Let's watch us extend our winning streak after we beat FC Dallas. So what we're going to do is take a quick look at the standings here. We'll start with the East. I'm just going to tell you guys the playoff teams because the ones who aren't in the playoffs don't matter. Plus, it's the East. So Rochester Rhinos are still undefeated. They've actually only allowed 4 goals on the entire season, which is pretty crazy. They have 28 points. Charleston Battery, 24 points. Louisville City FC, who will play in the next couple, 20 points. New York Red Bulls, 2, 16 points. Pittsburgh Riverhounds, 16 points. So the East, just not the complete standings, but the standings for the playoff team. So I'll go through the complete West here and see where OKC Energy is at compared to some of the other West teams.
Where are we at?
Hold on.
It's an exciting spot.
We'll
like it.
Say the standings, and then I'll tell you. So ready? First, OKC Energy FC, 24 points.
What?
OKC KC Energy FC. Oh, KC Energy FC.
First place.
All right, we're good. Okay, I got it.
Yes. Not only are we first place with the point over Seattle Sounders, but we also have a game in hand on them. So we have 24 points through 12 games. Seattle Sounders FC through 13 games. Sacramento Republic FC, who will play on Saturday, 22 points through 14 games. LA Galaxy 2, 22 points through 13 games. Colorado Switchbacks, 21 points through 12 games. Portland Timbers 2, 17 points through 13 games. And then you get into the teams who are currently not in the playoffs. I'll just run through them really quick.
Nobody cares.
Okay, nobody cares. Very good. Tulsa is not in that group as well, just in case you wanted to know that. They're there.
So can I just make a quick point? We have more points than Tulsa?
We do. We have
yes. Yeah, well, 10. Over that.
10 more points.
Oh, yes.
Which is three wins and a draw more than Tulsa. I also want to make one more point. We have allowed the second in the league.
Yeah, I'd like to make a point. Is that we're in first place with tied for the fewest games played other than Orange County.
Yeah.
I mean, we have games in hand and we're still in first place.
Yeah, so go on, boys. Keep going.
The momentum.
So let's go ahead and get into a little bit more of this. I'm going to skip the around the league here and just go into our stats, I guess you could say. The USL Western Conference per week stats so far is we are in third, which is at around, I don't know, 4,300-ish per week. The problem with this is
it's for this week. It's for this week to do the stats.
Oh, for this week.
Right. And that includes a Tuesday night game.
Well, yeah. That includes a Tuesday. Okay. So for this week, sadly, well below the first place team, but how are we going to go ahead and compete with Sacramento? Sacramento's just way up there with well over 10,000. I mean, they do 10,000 every week. That's just like, that's
pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
That's cake to them. And so also, we are not only on a five-game win streak, there are some other streak league. Can you
emphasize streaks anymore than
you just
did?
Is that like through the quad and into the gymnasium for streaking?
Yeah. No. Some of these people would probably rather do that than be on the losing streak. They're on like Arizona's four-game. Vancouver Whitecaps 2's 3 game.
Don't worry about Tulsa.
They suck. And then we kind of move on to what kind of points can we consider here? We can consider a lot of points here for us.
That was a good build-up.
You sounded like a teacher or something. Like, teach us math right now.
We can consider up to 72 points, kids. Yay! No, but really, we are in the best position out of anybody. If the points and possible points left in the season don't say anything, and the track we're on, we are on top all the way, and it just goes to show we're on top of the West.
We sang that.
We are on a 5-game win streak in league play, 7 altogether, and 8 unbeaten. We have 4 clean sheets. We're on top of the
West. I thought we had 5.
We have 5 clean sheets.
No.
Yeah, it's 5. Daniel's notes were incorrect at the beginning.
I thought it was 4 in a row.
No, it's 5 in a row. It's 5 including U.S. Open Cup.
Oh. Okay, fine. Yeah, including that, whatever. Clean sheets in a row. Including U.S. Open Cup, a mistake.
No,
and then at this point, we have 24.
Sorry. Oh no. It's four. So it's Austin, Vancouver, and Tulsa. That's 4. Or 5. So we're all up and up on our stats. Oh, good job, Tyler.
Thank you. I thought I did my research.
Shout out to Benson. He was muddy as hell.
We kept him outside. So he didn't bark this episode. He is covered in mud.
This took a bad. This took a bad turn.
It did. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Tyler.
At this point, we are 24 points in 12 games, which is a 2-point
math.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 2 points per game. The last time I do this, it was actually 5. It was Tulsa, U.S. Open Cup, Austin, Portland, Vancouver, and Tulsa again. So we clean sheeted Tulsa twice in just one streak.
I'm sorry I didn't count the Open Cup.
Who didn't go back on that it was 5 clean sheets?
Yes, good job, Eddie.
Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead, Tyler.
So at this point, we have 24 points in 12 games, and Tulsa has 14.
They suck.
Very good. So we appreciate you guys listening this week. That's all we got. Please follow us on Twitter, at Jimmy's Army Pod, all together, all lowercase. We have a Facebook, Jimmy's Army Podcast. We have an Instagram that is Jimmy's Army Pod, I believe, as well. We are on iTunes at Jimmy's Army Podcast. You guys getting the pattern here? We're on Podomatic, Jimmy's Army Podcast.podomatic.com.
Pretty much any platform that you go on, just type in Jimmy's Army Podcast and you'll find us.
Or Jimmy's Army Pod.
On top of that, though, if you guys have any suggestions about the show, like should we take out the Around the League, should we keep it, or should we continue to do stats and just kind of BS with each other, we would like to hear it. I know we make it kind of long when we go through the Around the League. We're trying to cut it down for you guys, but let us know. We're more than happy. And any other questions are more than welcome as well. We'd love
constructive criticism is okay. David Einstein is not okay to comment.
Yeah, if you tell us we suck, I'm going to say you suck. So, ask your questions. Let us know how we can do better. We are rookies. We want to make this better.
We get a lot of you suck, but it's only from one person.
Yeah.
Which is sad. Oh, poor guy. No time.
I'm
going
to just go out and say that was our last shout out to him.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Him anymore.
Well, he's just such a dedicated listener. You know, we feel like we have to say something. But, okay, so yes, please go follow us. Let us know how we're doing. Tell your friends, unless we stink and then don't. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again next week to recap FC Dallas game, Sacramento game. Hopefully 2 more wins, boys.
Yeah. Some of us will actually be at that Dallas game. What about you, DH?
Very good. Tyler.
I'll be there.
Very good. Tyler, good talking to you.
I will not be there, DH. Don't worry.
Thank you. Eddie, good as always.
Seven in a row.
Matt, very good to talk to you this time.
I got one more thing to say. I'm on top of the world.
Oh, my gosh. Matt, good talking to you, too.
Sir, yes, sir.
And Tulsa died by the sword.
Died by the sword.
We'll see you next week.
Daniel, it was good talking to you.
Thank you. We'll see you guys next week.